Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. I ate with my feet. I had a drink from the sink. I took a shit by the pit and enjoyed Quake by the lake. What's up, everybody? It is August 10th, 2022. Yes, it is August 10th. Welcome to Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony. AEW just went off the air about 5 minutes ago. And as we talked about last week, and let's be honest, All Out is happening. Do we really need to repeat what we talked about last week? All Out is happening in less than a month. It's happening in Chicago. You know, CM Punk was this close of returning. And hey, you know, give credit to CM Punk because he fooled a lot of people in San Diego, limping, selling the foot. He's nowhere close to a return, said a lot of these journalists, because they don't have any connections. But CM Punk, you know, working the injury right up to the last minute. Not only did he show up tonight, he ran down the rampway. And, yeah, this sets up Moxley versus Punk at All Out. And now the question is, does MJF show up in Chicago? I personally think if MJF does not show up in Chicago for All Out, or at minimum All Out, or the following Dynamite, I don't know if he's going to return. But let's think about the obvious. If MJF doesn't return and he is legitimately gone, that is beyond pitiful for Tony Khan. And look, I am a supporter of Tony Khan. I like him more than I criticize him. And he's still very, very young. And listen, I don't want to cause controversy by saying this, but if you want a prime example of what I'm talking about, I don't care if he likes his M&Ms plain or with peanuts. But, you know, I'm not aware of Tony Khan in any relationship. And some of his childish, immature-ish behavior, I don't care how much money you have, I don't think that impresses someone's partner, whether it's male, female, I don't care. You know, and I am a prime example of it. I changed so many of my habits and the little digs and the one-liners I used to throw online every day, week after week, goofs, this and that. And, you know, after a while, you know, I would write it, and I think I would write the best insult online. I told Goofy this person. I told this person off. And I'll never forget it, and I know I've told this story before. One night, I wrote something online that ripped a couple of assholes. And I was so proud that I got it to fit. I think at that time, Twitter was only 160 characters. And I looked at my fiance and I said, hey, look what I just posted online. And she read it. And deep down inside, I think she was very proud. Like, wow, you just ripped them a new asshole. But she looked at me and she said, how old are you? And it fucking hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, Tony Khan has nobody to reel in because some of his antics, his behavior is very childish. I think as he gets older, I think that will subside. No question. He will learn, you know, but as long as he gets away with some of the interviews that he does, he did one with the superstar crossover with Josh Martinez. I don't know the show. I don't know the host. I'm not going to criticize the guy, you know, but, you know, once again, Tony Khan makes an appearance on a podcast, says something that sounds like it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. But because the podcasters, these shows are gushing that they have the owner of AEW. You look at the banners, the guy that apparently is God. He's Booker of the Year, Booker of the Decade. You know, someone actually said to me today, Don Tony, because I didn't do the Q&A yet. I will admit, I was supposed to record the Q&A this afternoon, but, you know, a lot of work got in the way. I'm going to try to do it tomorrow morning before I go to my office job. But somebody asked in the Q&A, do I think that FTR is top five of all time? And my answer is going to be, for the Q&A, top five of all part-time. And it's not their fault. But you see, in 2 days, Swerve in Our Glory, greetings and salutations, everyone. In 48 hours, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I don't know why I sound English right now. Because I know Keith Lee is not from England, but in 2 days, 48 hours, they will be tag team champions for one whole month. And the number of times they've defended said title, zero. Zero. They had a street fight against Tony Nese. What the fuck was it? Josh Woods. That's what they did. And on Rampage, they will talk again. They will talk again. Tony Khan got away with it again. He did a podcast. I'll bring it up right now. Let's get that news tidbit out of the way. The podcaster, give him credit. He asked Tony Khan about, you know, the problems of not having enough time, you know, or big stars. I'm not talking about small stars. I'm talking about the top names that are not featured every week. Now, you think about this. We've been joking about Miro. Now, tonight, the obvious, I don't know why the fuck a month ago when Miro showed up with the two-tone sunglasses and he's looking at Malakai Black. And just because Malakai Black did this, like he had a twitch under his nose, a little smirk. I think he wants to be part of the House of Black. Everybody runs away. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Miro might be the House of be part of House of Black. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I'm like, because of a fucking smirk? The Nedima. Tell me how that makes sense. The Nedima. House of Black. Now you got four. We got the trios titles. Not the quadruple titles. We got three. Maybe Buddy Murphy wants to go back to WWE. Maybe he wants out. That's what people ran with. Do you realize that it's been, what, 3 weeks since the Redeemer came out and stared? If you saw my preview earlier today for tonight's show, and even when I wrote on Twitter, I said, tonight's show, we're going to get Aaron Solo in action. The Redeemer is going to stare again. This guy has wrestled three times in about 3 months. FTR. With the exception of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And, oh, did you see the Ring of Honor controversy that's coming out that people are desperately like, don't bring it up. That Tony Khan premature ejaculated by having Ring of Honor pay-per-view WrestleMania weekend, but the papers were not finalized and Joe Koff is angry. Are these people stupid? Are they that fucking stupid? If this was 15 years ago, I probably would use the R word instead of stupid, but we got to be politically correct here. Do people understand Joe fucking Koff? Joe Koff, nothing personally against the guy. That motherfucker sat back, said not a peep when Ring of Honor had their pay-per-view WrestleMania weekend. Joe Koff didn't say a peep for months and months and months, while Tony Khan, Ring of Honor, 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 didn't say a goddamn word. Now, 5 months later, Joe Koff is angry that Tony Khan pulled the trigger early. This is a millionaire Sinclair Broadcasting. You think these motherfucking millionaires and billionaires sit back and allow another billionaire premature ejaculate Ring of Honor for 5 months and don't say a word about it? You think why are these people so stupid? Is it just that they just want to have coverage, just have their name out there? So Tony Khan, let's forget about Ring of Honor for tonight. Tony Khan does an appearance on the Superstar Crossover. And when addressing people inconsistent, I think that's the best way to put it, the inconsistent use of big talents, Tony Khan's exact words are, warning, WWE is included in his comment. He says, and I quote, "I can't get everybody on the show. It's challenging in some ways when you have 3 hours of television. I get that if you're looking at a competitor that has 7 hours of television, WWE, the people in that company are twice as likely to be on TV. This billionaire bozo just turned around and said, well, WWE has 7 hours, so people are twice as likely to be on TV. WWE puts 20 fucking wrestlers on TV a week. 20. AEW puts 50, maybe more. We counted 72 on an episode of Dynamite once. Doesn't matter how many hours on TV. This motherfucker has too many toys in his bedroom. And unfortunately, he doesn't have a father like me when I was young. Clean this motherfucking place up. You don't need 65 toys to play with on Wednesday night. Here, 10, 20, 25 at the most. Clean this shit up. If you don't clean it up, I'm going to throw everything out. You're going to have no toys. This motherfucker doesn't know how to manage time. And his answer is, no, we need more time. If this motherfucker got 7 hours of TV time, you'd have 150 AEW stars every week. You wouldn't just, and you want a good example? Ring of Honor, 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 Ring of Honor. Look at the Trios tournament. Brackets. I told you last week, be prepared to see some names missing. Mostly the Blackpool Combat Club. Some people, I don't think realize that, no, Kyle O'Reilly legit may not be cleared to return, and Adam Cole, is not 100% yet. But, if you look at the brackets for the Trios titles, with the exception of Pac, and it's the All-Atlantic Championship, if you look at these brackets, you could pretty much figure, okay, anybody that doesn't have an AEW championship will be in the tournament. You got the Death Triangle. Okay, cool. That I have no problem with that. You've got the House of Black. Cool. The Dark Order. The Dark Order, do they really, really warrant a spot? Are they the top 8 trios teams in AEW? That could be up for debate, but I'm not going to have an issue with it. The Dark Order, okay, I'm fine with that. The Trust Brothers. Now, me personally, I am happy about that because of this guy, Parker Boudreau. You know, if you tune in to my shows on a semi-regular basis, how much I like that guy. And that guy got released from WWE, and instead of just having a chip on his shoulder and taking it easy and maybe spending more time with his significant other and maybe, get a little bit disenfranchised about the world of pro wrestling, this motherfucker has turned it up. This guy is working his balls off trying to put it all together, and he actually is starting to put it all together. So AEW, Tony Khan, is really into the Trust Brothers. So they got a spot in the tournament. Now, if you don't know much about the Trust Brothers, you could look them up and you could see. I mean, Arya Daivari, everybody knows, he's been around for a while. Slim J has been in Ring of Honor before. And then you got Parker. I mean, let's be honest. They're not going to advance to the finals, but they got a spot in the tournament. You got best friends All right. All right. Whatever. You know, whatever. Whenever. Then you got Andrade El Idolo, Roosh, and Dragon Lee. Now, some of you may say, why should Dragon Lee get a spot? He's really not featured much. Then you look Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. Again, this is the same logic as having the AEW interim championship tournament and trying to fill it up with New Japan stars eating up half the tournament. As much as Will Ospreay is fucking uber talented and even Aussie Open, they can't even draw enough attendance for a gangster's funeral on Access TV. Their ratings suck, and they're in a tournament to possibly win trios titles. You look at this tournament, and honestly, it is under fucking whelming. Yes, some of it is due to injury. And the Young Bucks with a mystery partner, I think we all feel it's got to be Hangman Page. I think the Dark Order, I can't see Hangman Page teaming up with someone, you know, with two other people. I know you could think Evil Uno 10, Hangman Page. Yeah, I could see it. But I think the Young Bucks and Hangman Page fits it more. I know some of you are hoping that Kenny Omega could possibly return. But even if Kenny Omega could return, should he be thrown right into a trios tournament when he has not wrestled in quite some time? So now next week, the first match that will go down is the Young Bucks and a mystery partner versus Andrade, Dragon Lee, and Roosh. And, you know, that kind of sucks because, you know, I would actually be cool with Andrade, Dragon Lee, and Roosh going to the finals, but it doesn't seem like that will happen. And on the opposite side, I think most people are hoping for the House of Black to make it to the finals. But those are your brackets, and we will crown the new champion, trios champions, by All Out. So next week, rapido, you're going to start seeing matches being filled. You'll have one on Dynamite at minimum next week. You'll have one on Rampage. Following week, you'll probably have two more. And who knows? You know, who knows what it'll end up being. Speaking of Miro, you know, we've been joking about the Redeemer. It's not his fault, everyone. I need to remind everyone, the Redeemer. Well, he cuts promos. Every 5 weeks, he cuts promos. He wrestles once. Every 5 weeks. So we get another promo today, and somehow, wherever the Redeemer is, somehow Julie Hart broke into his room. Julie Hart shows up. And the Redeemer, he has figured it out. And Julie Hart is like, embrace the House of Black. And she actually touches him. And Miro says, there's only one woman that can touch the Redeemer. And you are not it. Tell the pagans I'm coming for them. So at this rate, if the Redeemer has to go through Buddy Matthews first, then Brody King second, and then finally Malakai Black, we'll probably see it at New Year's blah, blah, blah pay-per-view. Because this is going to go. This is what Miro's going to be doing for probably until Thanksgiving. Seriously. So when you think about that comment that Tony Khan made, and he's just basing it on time, that's because this motherfucker doesn't know how to manage time. You know what you could compare it to? I hate politics now. But I just thought about it, and I guarantee you, each and every one of you, whether you're Democrat or Republican, or don't even like politics, you're going to say, DT, that is the analogy of the year. Tony Khan is like the United States government. They can't figure out how to budget the deficit, how to budget expenses. So instead of trying to cut back and managing expenses better, they just add to the deficit. They just keep borrowing money from China. They just keep making the deficit bigger and bigger because they don't know how to manage our money. And that's what Tony Khan is with AEW. This motherfucker actually said, well, WWE has 7 hours of programming, so those wrestlers have twice as much chance. And the fucking host doesn't question it. The host doesn't turn around and say, but wait a minute, WWE has 7 hours of programming and they still feature less people than you have on TV. But you know why? Because this host wants to have Tony Khan back. Just like Busted Open, as much as I like Busted Open is, I hope they have socks on. I hope they have socks on under the table because there's so much fucking footsie going on with Tony Khan. And why not? It's ratings. And ratings are more important than sometimes hard-nosed questions. You know, we lived through it with Dixie Carter. You remember all that shit. Cash flow positive. Do I need to rehash that? Cash flow positive will go down in infamy with Dixie Carter. Seriously. On her tombstone, she said it should say, here lies, you know, the greatest female next to Stephanie ever in wrestling. You know, managed TNA to heights never seen before by a woman. And even though it failed, at least it was cash flow positive. All right. So we got Khan out of the way. Khan! And we got some other news tidbits out of the way. Very quickly, best wishes go out to Chris Statlander, Jamie Hayter, and Solo Sikoa. Chris Statlander, if you did not watch, I believe it was Dark earlier this week, she landed awkwardly, tweaked her knee. We have not heard anything about a tear. I want to make that clear. But she is going to be out of action for a little while. Yes, I know she's been out of action before with injury. Shit happens, man. She has amped up her game. You know, we just wish her the best. Apparently, Jamie Hayter may have broken her nose at Battle of the Belts. So Jamie Hayter will be out for a little bit. And Solo Sikoa has a sprained PCL. So Solo Sikoa will be out for about 4 weeks. And they're going to take their time. And honestly, you could see it if you follow NXT. It's going to lead to Cameron Grimes versus Solo Sikoa. The big question now is, will Von Wagner show up on SmackDown? A lot of people think, we talked about it last week. Last week may have been Von Wagner's swan song on NXT. Maybe they changed their mind because of the Solo Sikoa injury. But we'll wait and see. Rojo Bear! Much love. He said, Hangman Page said he's just supporting the Dark Order on their corner. He's not in the Trios tournament. Very cool. That's a storyline. I appreciate the super chat, my friend. It's a storyline. Just like when Hangman Page told the Young Bucks today, when Matt Jackson apologized for all of their past behavior. And Hangman Page said, look, I can't be in the match with you. You know, the Dark Order have been by my side for the last couple of years. This is all storyline. To make it seem more that Hangman Page doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to do it, that makes the fans want it even more. And what I think could possibly happen is, who knows, maybe the Dark Order, you know, next week get a match. You know, it is a little intriguing. Let me explain why. You would think in storyline that the Dark Order, let's look at the brackets again. If you look at the Dark Order, they're taking on the House of Black. Wouldn't logic tell you that the Dark Order versus the House of Black should have happened first in this tournament? And I'll tell you why. If the House of Black beats the Dark Order, which they will, the Dark Order is no longer in the tournament. So now with the Dark Order no longer in the tournament, and then the following week you have the Young Bucks versus Andrade, Dragon Lee, and Rush. Then the Dark Order could say, look, we're out of the tournament. Go. Represent the Dark Order. Go. Compete. It's seriously, don't you think that makes more logic? Just like with the Coffin match. 2 weeks ago, or last week, when Brody King challenged Darby Allin in the Coffin match, it should have been the opposite. It was ass backwards. Brody King destroyed Darby Allin last week. Choked him out, dropped him like a sack of potatoes. Brody King did what he had to do. Why would he do that? If Darby Allin would have challenged Brody King, it would have been similar to when Jeff Hardy got beat the fuck up from The Undertaker back in the day and he kept getting up. I'm still standing. And then The Undertaker, it ended up, he got respect for Jeff Hardy because Jeff Hardy kept getting his ass up. It should have been Darby fucking Allin who should have challenged Brody King last week for the coffin match that we had tonight. Because in storyline, Brody King would be like, is this guy stupid? I just choked him out. I just put him an inch within his life. Yeah, you want a coffin match? Sure, whatever you want. Yeah, I'll do it. They did it ass backwards. Once again, and this is, honestly, this is what Jim Cornette always talks about. The lacking of a good booker. You know, Tony Khan wants his fingers on everything. And here's once again where I think that this tournament starts off ass backwards. The Dark Order should have had the first match lose and then give the okay for Hangman Page to team up with the Young Bucks. That's how I would have done it, to be honest with you. Now it's too late because you already made the announcement that the Young Bucks are going to be in action next week. But I understand why you say that, though. But it's all storyline. It's all storyline at the end of the day. Gaming Mafia says Tony Khan needs Freddie Prinze Jr. Look, I like Freddie Prinze Jr. And I am definitely excited to see what he does. You know, I hold my breath because other people have, you know, promised things in wrestling over the years and didn't deliver. But let's also realize Freddie Prinze Jr. is not this great booker extraordinaire. You know, this, so, you know, it doesn't mean that Freddie Prinze Jr. comes in and suddenly, you know, he's like, you know, a younger version of what Triple H ultimately has become, you know. So, no, Freddie Prinze Jr. is not yet in that role. But, you know, this, I think, has a few holes in it. All right, so we wish best wishes for those three who are injured right now. Now, I thought it was pretty freaking cool tonight. You know, we knew Moxley was defeating Jericho. We knew Moxley and Punk are going to unify that title at All Out. But they teased that Chris Jericho was going to show up tonight as Lionheart. Now, me, I've been following Jericho since the 90s. If anybody goes back with me on my hotline, somebody followed him since the 80s. That's one of the most legendary calls that I ever got from my hotline back then. People want to understand why I don't take calls as much anymore. It's not just that the same people seem to be calling in every time, but you know, you never can really predict what you're going to get on the opposite side. But somebody called in, this has got to be what, 15 years ago, talking about Chris Jericho, and he was talking about how he used to watch Jericho in the 80s wrestling in Calgary and stuff like that. And we're like trying to like figure out the time frame, and like, no, you mean 90s? Like, no, the 80s. And I'm like, okay, it was just really, it's a legendary call. I still have the audio somewhere. But Jericho, you know, doing the Painmaker, everybody loves it. Jericho reinventing himself. And look, everybody loves nostalgia. You know, I remember when WWE did Legends Night a year ago. I think it was last January. And I remember the noise. We call them the noise on social media. They were all ripping apart. You know, we're sick of fucking Legend Night. We're sick of the Legends. Sick of the Legends. I think last year's Legends Night was in the top three highest ratings for Raw of all year. I mean, nostalgia draws. We get nostalgia in different forms. You may get Flair. You may get Austin. You may get this. You also could get it with gimmicks and characters. And let me tell you something. I used to love when Chris Jericho wrestled his Lionheart. How many times over the years did I piss off our Japanese audience here when I try to imitate a Japanese lion? That's how they used to announce him. So this was Lionheart Chris Jericho in ECW. I remember he fought Taz. I remember he fought Mick Foley. Right before Mick Foley left to become Mankind in WWE, I remember him wrestling the four-way match. The night I think Francine turned and aligned with Shane Douglas. Remember that four-way match for, I think, the TV title in ECW? That was Chris Jericho back, I believe, in 1996. Tonight, we had Chris Jericho return, and I think he looks pretty fucking good. You know, yeah, maybe, you know, you got to use a little bit of a belt now, but yeah, I mean, he's aged, obviously. This is 26 years later, but I dug it, man. I dug it. And the crowd loved him tonight. And some people are saying that tonight's match that he had might have been his best match in AEW to date. And believe me when I tell you, you know, yes, the blood towards the end that was inadvertent, you know, helps with the drama. But you put him back in his normal Jericho Appreciation Society outfit and it would have a different vibe tonight. Nostalgia is good in small amounts. And that's why we had this tonight. There was never a question who was going to win this match or lose the match. But you just see a little bit of nostalgia. And let me tell you something. Appreciate the nostalgia in whatever form it comes. Most of the time, the nostalgia of what you see now is not what the person was back in the day. Whether it's Austin or McMahon or Flair or Lionheart or anybody else. Even Hoovy when he came back for that one shot. You know, it's not what it used to be. But I always compare it to like an old-timers game. You know, you remember, it brings back memories. It brings back fond memories of a more simpler time. So anytime we get a little bit of nostalgia, you know, the outcome may be predictable, but the nostalgia, it just feels good. You know, it's almost like when you watch like a reunion for a TV show, you know, I mean, even if they return for an episode or a little mini movie or something like that, it feels good. You know, we just had the Beavis and Butthead movie come out, you know, and I watched it twice and I enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, I miss it. Now, apparently they have two episodes. I have not had a chance to watch it yet, but I enjoyed the fuck out of this match tonight. I thought tonight's episode of Dynamite was pretty good. I mean, really, even if CM Punk didn't return, I still would have said I thought tonight's episode was pretty good. It flowed nicely. Sure, some people didn't wrestle that should have. Pretty obvious there, but let's run down the card. Let's run down the card very quickly. So this overall was your lineup for tonight. Yes, we had a little bit extra with Luchasaurus and a few other things, but this was your lineup for the most part tonight. Now, let me just pull up. Where are you? Here we go. All right. Dynamite opens up with Darby Allin beating Brody King in a casket match. Darby Allin coming into Dynamite is 2-0 in casket matches. That will be his thing. You know, you think of Undertaker, you know, Hell in a Cell. You think of, you know, some wrestlers' specific gimmick is their trademark. And for Darby Allin, it's the coffin match. Within a minute, Brody King is busted open and busted open badly. Darby had the skateboard with the thumbtacks, and we had thumbtacks in Brody King's stomach in his back. And listen, Brody King rubbed me the wrong way big time about the shots towards Edge. All right. Edge is a Hall of Famer. Edge had to go into retirement for what, 7 years? Came out of retirement. Not saying he's better now than what he was back then. You know, we kind of felt that way towards Shawn Michaels when he made his return for that second run. But, you know, I just thought, like, you know, the fuck are you, Oompa Loompa? You know, to turn around and, you know, just throw shots like that, unprovoked. If Edge would have opened his mouth and said something, then I would have said, yeah, go. He deserves it. You give it, you take it. But I got to tell you, I'm starting to warm up on Brody King a little bit. The guy really, really performs. And you, even though I still disagree that he got that match against Moxley from that Battle Royale, it should have been Eddie Kingston that night. That's what the fans wanted. They don't get it. But Brody King tonight put on a fucking performance. He bled like a pig. We had a lot of blood tonight, a lot of blood. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, for some of us, we miss blood in wrestling because it also tells a story. It adds drama. It adds to a feud. Somebody busts somebody open. That's like, okay, now that person means business. He's fucking busting someone open. You know, you start beating somebody in the face and they start bleeding. It feels more realistic. It looks realistic. When you see someone get hit over the head with a sledgehammer, get hit over the head with a wrench, have their head smashed into a pole, and they have no blood whatsoever, it's goofy. It looks stupid. If you're not going to have blood, you can't use certain weapons that in any other case would crack open someone like a watermelon. So here in AEW, we get blood. And some people, you know, still feel like, well, you know, we're in 2022. There are some major health issues. There's health risks. You know, sure, it could be only a matter of time where we may get the Cowboy Bob Orton incident in AEW. But these wrestlers agree to do it. You can't stomp them. You know, I'll tell you something really quick, and I know some of you know this already, but do you remember, oh my God, Bison Smith? Bison Smith. If anybody that's a newer listener to the show, Bison Smith was a Ring of Honor guy, wrestled overseas. Bison Smith was a friend. Bison Smith was a very good friend of the show, supported the show. I still have an email that he sent me a day and a half before he passed away. Oh, great fucking show. Just checked it out. You know, I still have my old blackheartsny@aol.com email. I'll never shut it down. I still have all my AOL emails, you know, because I still use it. But Bison Smith was a good friend of the show. And Bison Smith, when we had the controversy with Abdullah the Butcher and, who's that crazy motherfucker? Oh, shit. Chat room, bail me out. It's late. I've been up since 6:30 this morning. Who's the guy on YouTube that busted open that referee, that whack job, that Hannibal? Thank you very much, Benjamin. Hannibal. Remember the controversy where Hannibal accused Abdullah the Butcher of giving him hepatitis? Bison Smith was the one that told me, and I still have those old podcasts. Bison Smith told me that he wrestled on cards with Hannibal and watched Hannibal cut himself open, blade. Hannibal was willing participant in these bloodbaths, not just with Abdullah the Butcher. That guy used to go to Puerto Rico and bleed like a fucking pig. And then Hannibal, you know, because he's, you know, Looney Tunes, Abdullah did this to me without my consent and this, this, and that. Didn't say nothing while he was getting all these big paydays and getting all this attention. It's just after he got sick. Oh, I did it against my will. I was not a willing participant. Liar. Liar. But nobody in wrestling wants to be that guy, you know, the stooge, the stool pigeon, the rat. But I think people figured out quickly. This, if you remember, a certain female that used to be in WWE. That was the same time when Bison Smith was telling me that this woman, you know, she's doing this, and it. She was going to be one of, you know, my focal points. Oh, my God, I am so thankful, guys and gals, that I never launched that website. Guys, this will prove if someone out there is old school with me, that is an OG of what I do. Who in the chat room right now, in fact, free T-shirt, any shirt, AEW, WWE, you choose the shirt, I will order it for you. What was the female website that I was going to launch back in the day? And a certain female was going to be the poster child of my website. First person in the chat room that remembers the name of the website, I bought the domain, I had it ready, and I pussied out. Something just said to me, DT, this is not a good idea. And I didn't do it. And I am so thankful I never did it. Not Tony's Angels. Someone in the chat will get it. If you really know, you will post it by now. Relaxing Ghost, you're not that far off. Not Wrestling Divas. I think that would have been taken already. No, did anybody go back that time, back that far with me? What was, not Blow. Blow is good. What would it? What would the B stand for? The bugliest, beautiful ladies of wrestling. No. It was what I was going to do was politically incorrect. No, it's the opposite, everyone. If we would have showcased women's beauty, I think when these women now go in their 40s and 50s, they would go back and say, Don Tony, thank you for showing all the love, showing, you know how beautiful we were. No one knows? Wow. Wow, I'm flabbergasted. All right, I'll tell you. I was going to look, and if you think I'm kidding, go into I think you can look at the domain search history. You'll see that I bought it. Nah, no one knows. Wow. Okay. It's been that long. It's been over 15 years. I was going to launch a website called uglydivas.com. Uglydivas.com. And I looked for the ugliest women in wrestling. There is one former WWE woman that honestly I thought was very sexy and attractive, but there was a lot of pictures of her without makeup, and she was going to be the poster child of that. Nicole Bass. Nicole Bass was a friend of mine. I would never have thrown Nicole Bass under the bus. But yeah, I was going to do uglydivas.com, and we were just going to feature ugly, ugly, fugly, any photos we could find, and nice, and just something inside me like, DT, nah. I love women. I love women. Like, I just can't do it. But I had this crazy idea 15 plus years ago of launching uglydivas.com. So, yeah, we probably would have Mae Young on there in the latter years. But, yeah, I never did it. Never did it. Thank God no one remembers it. So, but, you know, look, getting back to the match, because we obviously don't want to stay here forever tonight. Brody King, Darby Allin put on a fucking performance. We had a couple of antics during the match. At one point, the lights go out. And this was funny. While the lights are out, the commentators normally don't say anything. The less you say, the more suspense it is. This time around, it was hilarious. Jim Ross was on the entire show, which was cool. But as the lights are out, and they're out for an extended amount of time, and that's because Sting needed to go into the coffin. For people that don't know, because some people at ringside, they have their camera phones lit up, and somebody DM'd me and said, yeah, Sting, it took a little bit longer for him to get in the coffin. But while the lights are off, you hear the commentators, and I think it was Taz, was like, well, it's probably the House of Black. You know how they are and everything. And they were like ruining it for all of us. I mean, we knew who it was going to be, but sure enough, the lights come back on. And you see Buddy Matthews and Malachi Black at ringside. Darby Allin runs the ropes, and Julie Hart, my God, you know, use a little bit of force. I mean, honestly, if you go back and watch it, Julie Hart, she's supposed to hook Darby Allin, grab the ankle, stop the momentum. She, I mean, honestly, hardly even touched him. He could have gotten hit by a mosquito that flew by and probably would have felt it more. So he turns around and he gets distracted. He looks at her, you know, so Brody King gets the upper hand again. And then Buddy Matthews goes to open the coffin so they could prepare to put Darby in it, and Sting is in the coffin. And look, again, this is nostalgia. This is another good example about nostalgia. We love Sting, no question. So we are willing to not think about that he's a lot slower. You see him looking at Buddy Matthews. Buddy Matthews is standing there waiting to get hit with the bat. And then when Sting hits him with the bat again, Buddy Matthews goes like this, like, okay, now you can hit me. I mean, it's slow. And in storyline, you know, it just makes Buddy Matthews look like a goof. But this is Sting. This is nostalgia. And people are willing to let that go. That's what nostalgia does. Nostalgia allows you to miss a step, be a little bit slower, not be as sharp because of the appreciation you have for the person and what they have done in their career. So we get a little nostalgia, little bit of goofiness, let's be honest. We have a stare down between Malachi Black and Sting. And I know there's some people online, oh my God, it's epic. We may get Sting versus Malachi Black. let's pull our fandom hood back a little bit. Let's be honest. Seriously. You don't have to answer this. Think to yourself. Do you really want Sting versus Malakai Black one-on-one? You think of Malakai Black in his fucking prime. Do you really want to see Sting versus... No, no, you don't. For obvious reasons. But Sting gives the bat to Malakai Black, like Sting used to do, fighting with the NWO. I think he, didn't he do it with Lex Luger once? I think he did it with a Steiner. He gives somebody the bat, he turns around, he closes his eyes, and he's basically saying, let's see if you have the balls to hit me. And Malakai Black takes the bat, throws it down. I don't need the bat, Sting. And I was cool with that. What I had a problem with, I thought this was so funny. Malakai Black takes, Sting gives him the bat, and Malakai looks at it. He's like, I don't need your bat. He throws it down. For some reason, Malakai Black has to do pee-pee. Malakai Black gets out of the ring and starts walking up the rampway. And Sting is in the ring, and he's like calling him like, you're a fucking pussy. He didn't use the P word, but Sting is like angry. Like, why are you leaving? And I'm saying the same thing. Why are you leaving? He just started walking up the rampway. Why? Because Tony Khan thinks everybody's going to get excited when Sting starts going up the rampway and charging after Malakai Black. You know, I understand it's exciting, but what the fuck is Malakai Black walking to the back for? Seriously, think about it. Why did you got Brody King? The lights went out. You showed up. You're trying to help your House of Black member to beat Darby Allin. Malakai Black just walks up the rampway. Ice cream truck's outside. You know? I got to take a shit. I can't hold it. I got to pee. What excuse? Why? Because the fans are going to get excited because Sting is going to charge up the rampway? It was stupid. That was stupid. Then we get a hole in one, which was funny. The coffin is now open, and Darby Allin ultimately gets the chain, chokes out Brody King like what happened the week before, and Brody King is outside the ring against the floor. Now, to maximize the choking effect and the visual of it, Darby Allin pulls back and Brody King goes on the apron. So now he's standing on the outside apron on the ring. And when he sells being totally choked out by Darby, Darby lets it go. Brody King falls out of the ring, falls into the casket, and the casket door closes. When the commentator said hole in one, I thought of miniature golf. It was like a miniature golf move. I mean, you look at it, that's like a video game. I mean, he literally fell off the mat, somehow fell into the casket, and the fucking door closed all at the same time. I was laughing. Should we have laughed with a casket match like that? I thought the match was great, but it had some of this goofiness that was not necessary. It was not necessary, but Darby Allin gets the win. All right, next match, and I tell you, I really enjoyed how this played out. We had Andrade and Rush beating the Lucha Bros. Now, I know a lot of people online thought the Lucha Brothers were going to get this win tonight. I thought no way, shape, or form. If you actually even saw my preview, I had the results on there hours before it happened. Because you're putting Andrade and Rush in the tournament. You know, you need them to go in with some momentum. The Lucha Bros and Pac are not winning the Trios Championships. Pac already has the title. He's the only one in the tournament that has any form of an AEW title. This tournament is for wrestlers who do not hold AEW championships. Soon, they're going to have to do a tournament to crown a double champion because everybody's going to have a belt sooner or later. So Andrade and Rouge, I don't think there was any question they were going to win tonight. But it was very creative how they did. Towards the latter part in the match, they tied Penta's mask to the rope. Now, apparently, Penta was never a Cub Scout when he was young. And unfortunately, maybe Penta has arthritis. Maybe he's got some type of, you know, illness that prevents him from going in the back of his head and undoing the knot. And it's not like he was being choked. It was the top of the mask. It's not like they hung him like this. So they tie the back of the mask to the rope. And Penta's got two good hands. He's not trying to undo it. So what does he do? Instead of trying to remove the knot from the ring. And let me tell you why it was fucking hilarious. I like the idea, but the execution was awful, and I'll tell you why. Because when they tied his mask to the rope, his brother, Ray Phoenix, his partner, is getting the shit knocked out of him. His partner is getting shit knocked out of him. So he's trying to break free so he could help his partner. So he decides he's going to unmask himself. And that concept, I love it. Because Penta doesn't, every time he gets unmasked, he covers his face. This time around, he sacrificed the mask to try to save his partner. And I love that. That is fucking cool. Here's where I have a problem with it, though. It makes Penta look like a goof. Because he couldn't untie the mask from the rope. But yet, Andrade and Rush were able to untie it from the rope and they throw the mask into the crowd. So, Penta, he no Cub Scout. He don't know how to undo knots. Somebody as a rib should double knot his boots in the back. So I can't. He'll, 2 days later, 2 days later, he'll have to cut his gear off with scissors. He'll be taking a shower. He'll be shitting. He'll be doing in the pool and he's wearing his boots still. And then people will laugh at him. He's like, no, these are swimming shoes. No, these swimming shoes. No, those are the boots you were wearing on Monday. Oh, what's the matter? You don't know how to untie a double knot? So that's what they should have left the mask tied on the rope. They should have had the camera focus on the mask, leave it tied to the rope. They threw it into the crowd, and the crowd is saying, throw it back, throw it back. If I was the fan that got that mask, I wouldn't throw it back. Why? So everybody cheers you? And then what happens? 2 weeks later, or 2 years later, or 20 years later, you tell your grandchildren, yeah, one time I went to an AEW show, and they threw the Penta Hall of Famer's mask in the crowd, and I took it. And everybody was telling me to throw it back. And I threw it back. And everybody cheered. And nobody gave a fuck about you 5 minutes later. Could you move your head, please? I'm trying to see the match. You know, you get a little deodorant, you smell like death. You know? If I'm that fan and you get the mask, fuck that. I want to see it on eBay tonight. Would you give the mask back? You're in the building. Everybody's like, throw it back. Throw it back. You throw it back. Honestly, you know what most people would be doing? You idiot. Stupid. Moron. So good. I'm glad you didn't throw it back. Keep that shit. Seriously. All right. So, Lucha Bros lose. Luchasaurus over Anthony Henry. Not much of a match there. Christian is in the back. He cuts a promo that Jungle Boy was on commentary for a couple of minutes. Christian would love to go out there and slap the headset and the shit out of Jungle Boy, but the fans don't deserve it. He doesn't realize that Jungle Boy gets off the headset and charges into the back. We get a pull apart, and then Luchasaurus shows up. Luchasaurus is pissed off. He starts choke slamming people. Pat Buck makes a little cameo, gets a little headbutt for his, involvement. And will Luchasaurus get suspended? Will he get suspended? They may need to do that. if they're going to have Christian versus Jungle Boy. We don't want Luchasaurus around ringside. So maybe they'll suspend Luchasaurus because of that. Maybe that's why they did that. So we get the promos, as we said earlier, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page. We get a promo from Moxley, a promo from Jericho, promo from Mirdo. Mark Henry is with Powerhouse Hobbs. The Factory shows up, you know, wanted to give a little protection for Starks. He refused. They're trying to butter up to Hobbs, and Hobbs tells QT Marshall, who now thinks he's, I think he's trying to sound like Tony D'Angelo now. You notice that? We talked about that over the weekend. Matt Menard, that guy now, if you listen to him, now tonight he was a little overexcited, but if you pay attention to Matt Menard the last 2 weeks, he thinks he's Tony D'Angelo. Now if you listen to QT Marshall, and he even brought up spaghetti and cheese tonight, they're starting to try to do these Italian accents. Especially Matt Menard. Your last name doesn't end in a vowel. So unless you're Matt Menardo, Matt Menardino, Matt Mardolio, no, it doesn't work. They sound like Tony D'Angelo wannabes. And I'm not as much of a fan of Tony D'Angelo like I used to. Hey, I'm sick and tired of you. Hey, how's about you and me? You and me, one final accord. If I went back to my neighborhood here, And hey, Tony, did you take care of business? Yeah, I seen that Santos, that prick bastard. And what did you do? I challenged him. Next week, if I beat Santos, then he's out of NXT. Okay, and what if you lose? Legado's free. I mean, it's free. I mean, I could fuck him for nothing? Nah, it's free. They don't work for me anymore. They shouldn't be working with you anyway. They're not fucking blood. They're not Italian. You need to know their history. What do you have two fucking Mexicans working for you for? Tony, snap out of it. Yeah, but don't worry about it. Don't worry. I challenge him. Final accord. Final what? Accord? The fuck is accord? A plug? Here's accord. The fuck? What's a final accord? Hey, just let me take care of business. It's not Tony D'Angelo's fault. It's the writing in the back. It's because you got this guy. This guy that some people actually think he should be the leader of the NXT invasion that I talked about on Monday that could possibly happen on WWE television. Oh, Shawn Michaels. Yeah. I can't wait for him. Shawn Michaels of 10 years ago, maybe. Not that Shawn Michaels. Sorry. I love Shawn Michaels. But if he's revealed as the person trying to ruin WWE and bringing back NXT stars that were released to try to infiltrate and destroy, I'd laugh. That's the one that's saying, hey, Tony, go out there and challenge Santos to a final accord. Huh? A final what? A final accord. Google it. Okay, boss. And then Matt Menard sound, everybody wants to sound Italian now. Everybody wants to be Italian. All right. Jay Lethal, Sunjay Dutt, Satnam Singh. They hit the ring. They're talking also. Everybody's talking tonight. They're bragging about what they did to Wardlow at Battle of the Belts that drew 437,000 viewers, almost half of what the first Battle of the Belts did. And Wardlow, you better either come out or we're going to take your belt. Wardlow comes out. And before Wardlow could hit the ring because he wants to beat the fuck out of all three of them, FTR's music hits. Did we get the announcement that FTR and Wardlow are going to take on those three guys on Rampage? No. Is Wardlow and FTR going to take on Singh, Dutt, and Jay Lethal next Wednesday? Not as of now. Is that going to be the fucking pay-per-view match? FTR. Top five of all time? How's about top five of all part-time? So for me to be a top all-time of anything, it's kind of like baseball. You have to have a certain number of at-bats to qualify for an award or trophy. In the NFL, you have to have a certain number of yards or games or something like that. In the NBA, you can't just play once every six games and then, oh, yeah, I should be MVP. I'm one of the greatest of all time. You average 6 minutes a game. No. Every time I went out there, I had 40 minutes a game. Yeah, but you only played once every seven games. You divide seven into 40, you get 5.8. So that's not FTR's fault. Who the fuck really wants to see them team up with Wardlow to take on Dutt, Singh, and Lethal? You know, when Cornette talked about how AEW did not want to put the AEW tag titles on FTR, and instead the Young Bucks gave it to Swerve and Strickland, who have defended it zero times in the first month of their reign. Swerve and shit. It's not their fault. It's Tony Khan and the writing in the back. But when FTR, you could come out with 10 sets of titles. The letters on the TV say AEW. It's not Ring of Honor. It's not IWGP. It's not AAA. When you can have everybody else's belt, but you can't get the belts for the show that you're on, the name that's on your contract, that's telling. That is telling. Especially when there's 35 belts and you can't even get the ones to represent the company that you work for. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. But most people don't want to bring it up because, you know, they want to rub the elbows. So, big rig to Jay Lethal, and that's it. FTR is back. They hit a move. Okay, we probably, maybe we'll get lucky and see a match next week. I think 2 weeks from now may be more likely. Jericho Appreciation Society predicting a Jericho win. Ricky Starks, stored us back on the screen. Ricky Starks beating Aaron Solo. Oh, there's your FTR returns. Nice. Ricky Starks being Aaron Solo in a very short amount of time. Nick Camarado doing his best as impersonation of a bad cartoon. This motherfucker run down the rampway. For some reason, he wasn't at ringside during the match. For some reason, he couldn't just take a chair from ringside. He had to run down the rampway because Tony Khan has a fascination with rampways. You got to run down it or you got to charge it. You got to brisk walk it because rampways make excitement. And Nick Camarado was running down the rampway with a chair. Do you remember, you know what I thought of tonight? Anybody that goes back to the Attitude Era, you'll love this. Do you remember that time when The Rock was in the ring and Sean Stasiak ran down the rampway, charged, ran down, and The Rock is just waiting for him? Sean Stasiak hits the ring, and he runs up to The Rock, and The Rock proceeds to just throw him off the over the top rope on the outside of the ring. He never stopped. If you never saw that spot, I give you permission. You could go on YouTube now or look it up. Just look up Sean Stasiak, The Rock. Everybody and their mother has posted it by now. You'll see him run down the rampway, hit the ring. Rock throws him over the top rope, never stops. Nick Camarado runs down the ring with the chair. Ricky Starks is waiting for him, and Nick Camarado flings the chair like he's 95 years old, and he fails. And then the worst part about it is Nick Camarado, Aaron Solo, they're trying to get revenge on Ricky Starks after the match was over. And Nick Camarado is about to chair bash Ricky Starks, but Ricky Starks breaks free and he rolls out of the ring. Go back and watch it. Nick Camarado runs to the opposite side of the ring to try to get at Ricky Starks. And for some reason, Nick Camarado decides to drop the chair. It looked like a bad fucking cartoon. And then it gets worse because who dat? QT Marshall. You know, what he does is cute for seven-year-olds, not 70, seven-year-olds in attendance. Seven-year-olds will go, ha, 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 ha. This motherfucker, Ricky Starks jumps the guardrail, jumps the barricade, runs into the crowd, and QT Marshall tries to climb over the barricade like he's Joey 924 or somebody who is 800 pounds, and he's struggling and he falls on the floor. Why? Because he can't catch up to Ricky Starks. That's the segment. He looked like a bad cartoon. So it was not very good. I mean, look, Ricky Starks was great in all of this. But Camarado and QT Marshall, seriously, awful. Awful. And you think about the fact that Camarado, remember when he first showed up and we thought that he was going to be, he felt, looked like a retro. He looked like, oh, what the fuck's his name? Oh, man, I'm drawing blanks right now. But shit. I'm trying to remember the whack job. The wrestler turned into a whack job. Oh, fuck. Billy Jack Haynes. He reminded me of Billy Jack Haynes meets like Bruiser Brody or me. This, how many years? Can you imagine if he was in NXT and still that bad? And you think people would be like, no, no, give him time. Give him time. Give him three more years. Seriously. You know, could have filed bankruptcy when he first signed and he'd be out of bankruptcy by the time he actually gets good. Another backstage segment, and this one was confusing. Billy Gunn is in the back with the Ass Boys, and here comes Stokely, and he's like, hey, Grandpa Ass, it's past 8 o'clock, it's past your bedtime, go to catering, get an insure. And I guess Stokely is interested in the Ass Boys. Billy Gunn makes a threat, and Stokely leaves. So now Billy Gunn, you know, he's mad at his sons for screwing up the dumpster match, but he books them a match on Rampage, and we get confusion because here comes Danhausen. And Billy Gunn's got this big smile on his face, like he's happy to see Danhausen. And Danhausen's like, see you Friday night. And they don't tell us right then and there, is he teaming up with them or is he facing them? You look at Billy Gunn, Billy Gunn's happy to see him. And Danhausen's like, see you Friday night. Now we find out later that he's teaming up with Eric Redbeard. That is fucking wild. Because last week we had a conversation about how they brought Eric Redbeard on for like two or three appearances and then he disappeared. Remember we talked about him and Johnny Impact and now he appears again. Just like when we were starting to talk about the FTR stuff and they appear again. So if you think about it, Miro should wrestle next. If Miro wrestles next week, then somebody obviously is checking this shit out. But I thought that was funny. So we're going to get Beardhausen, right? Eric Redbeard and Danhausen versus the Ass Boys on Friday. By the way, here's your lineup for Friday. Swerve Strickland, Bryan Danielson, and Hook are all going to talk. Beardhausen versus the Ass Boys. Ari Daivari versus Orange Cassidy. Parker Boudreaux versus Sonny Kiss. And Ty Mello, the former Ty Conti, and Sammy Guevara, they're going to be defending the AAA mixed tag titles against Dante Martin and Sky Blue. Now, I just said Ty Mello. For those that don't know, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti got married last week. Legit, congrats to them. And as a result, Ty Conti is no longer using the Conti name. For those that don't know, Ty Conti was previously married. She was married to a man by the name of Jorge Conti. Even though she got divorced, she kept the last name in wrestling. Now, because she's married to Sammy Guevara, she has a different name. Instead of Ty Conti, it's now Ty Mello. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right away. Why didn't they just call her Ty Guevara? Yeah, that would rub under people's skins, absolutely. But I personally think, and look, trust me, Sammy and Ty did not have this conversation. But since she has another marriage that didn't work out before, if she starts going around calling herself Ty Guevara and she starts really making a good career out of wrestling, and let's say the relationship fizzles out and they split down the line, now everybody knows her as Ty Guevara. Now you got to do this shit all over again. So you use a last name that doesn't represent the spouse. She likes Mello, Ty Mello. So she will be Ty Mello. And I think that's smart. I really do think that is smart. So it doesn't roll off the tongue very well, Guevara, but I don't think it has to. It gets under people's skin. So, but they're going to defend the mixed tag titles on Friday. Friday's Rampage don't look like that bad of a show. Now, next Wednesday, we're going to have Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia. 2 out of 3 falls. I don't understand why that is not on All Out's pay-per-view. Maybe because the 2 out of 3 falls would take up a lot more time on the pay-per-view. I don't know. But they're doing it next week instead. Maybe they do a third match at All Out. Who knows? But that match is happening next week. We have the opening of the Trios tournament next week. And then Kylan King is taking on Tony Storm. Now, because Chris Statlander is injured, Tony Storm is now technically the number one contender. And they're going back and teasing it again. Thunder Rosa's champion. Tony Storm's ultimate goal is to have that championship one day. And we get a little awkward situation. And Tony Storm, she's looking at Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa's looking at her. And Thunder Rosa looks at Tony Schiavone and she's like, we're not talking about this now. So, you know, we just had them face each other at Forbidden Door. So they're revisiting that again. Jade Cargill taking on Madison Rayne. You know, the match was not bad. I mean, this is why Madison Rayne is now part of, you know, not only the women's roster, but a trainer. You know, the problem that Jade Cargill still has, and it's very, very apparent, and anybody that doesn't tell you this, you know, they're either afraid to or they're just, you know, an uber fan, which I guess would be the same thing. Jade Cargill's biggest flaw right now is not actually hitting moves. She actually does a pretty good job with it. But Jade Cargill's biggest flaw is when she takes a move. She sets herself up, and she has to do it literally like a second earlier than most people. You know, when you get set up for a move, it's supposed to be, you know, like almost like an art form in the ring. You know, it's supposed to be smooth. It's not supposed to have pauses. And if you look back at the match today, when Madison Rayne was setting up to hit a couple of moves on Jade Cargill, she needs that extra second to put herself in position. Madison Rayne, towards the end of the match, she hit Jade Cargill with something. And I remember Jade Cargill going like this, like bending down. Okay, now you can hit the move. Then moments later, going like this. Okay, now you can hit the move. And she, that's her biggest flaw. If she could remove that extra second, you'd see a much, much, much better Jade Cargill in the ring. And there was no question she was going to win tonight. And she did. After the match is over, we had a couple of baddies at ringside, and Athena was dressed as one of the baddies. She hits the ring. She nails Jade Cargill a couple of times. I mean, let's be honest. Look at Athena for the last 6 weeks. Does it feel like there's any momentum? You know, it's not, oh, it's, you know, storytelling. No, it's not. It's what I said at the beginning of the show about Tony Khan not knowing how to manage time. He's got to put 50 people on the show. Instead of maybe dividing it a little bit better and having people almost strictly on Rampage, you know, even, look, you put Moxley on Rampage this past week and it didn't draw 500,000 viewers. You know, people just don't like the influx of a lot of names that Tony Khan gets a special feeling down his thigh, but a lot of wrestling fans don't. You know, I see 65 people online having an erection about Josh Woods last week. And I honestly, with all due respect, I don't give a fuck about Josh Woods. If I wanted to watch Josh Woods in Ring of Honor, I would have watched Josh Woods in Ring of Honor. You know, but just because it's like, okay, I don't like fish. I'm allergic to fish. So I go to a steak restaurant. I don't want fish. So now under new management, it's a steak restaurant. It's advertised as a steak restaurant, but now half the menu has fish on it. I'm not, if I want fish, I'll go to a fish restaurant. Just because you're literally putting it in my face, all right, yeah, I'll try the bass. You know, there's too many names on that show that should not be on that show. And you realize it. FTR don't have matches like they used to on a consistent basis. The Young Bucks, every 5 weeks, they have a match. Miro redeems weeks and talks and doesn't do anything else. And a lot of wrestlers are like that. But meanwhile, you know, we got Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt and Jay Lethal on TV every fucking week. We have 95 backstage segments. We have, you know, this person taking up time. You got Will Ospreay and Aussie Open in that tournament. As good as they are, if I want to watch them, I'll watch them in New Japan. But this is because Tony Khan wants them. And because he wants them, we should want them too. And as long as he has that mindset, you're going to see the ratings not be in the positions that they should be. It's just fans will just tune out. Tonight, many people did not know CM Punk was going to show. So the ratings are not going to reflect CM Punk. Next week, they got to break a million. Next week, they got to break a million. Danielson is wrestling 2 out of 3 falls. CM Punk and Jon Moxley will cement their match for All Out. You're going to have a couple other things go down at the beginning of the Trios tournament. They got a hit, 1,050,000 at minimum. And I think they will break a million. But if they don't break a million next week with those guys back in the ring, that's telling. So we already talked about Jericho versus Moxley. We had about a 10-minute conversation early on. So we went a little out of place, but Moxley retains. After the match is over, clusterfuck, Jericho Appreciation Society hit the ring, Blackpool Combat Club, and, you know, again, you know, I know a lot of people are complaining that they're not in the tournament. All right, Moxley's going to be tied up, you know. What's going to happen with Danielson? I mean, why even have this faction if they're not going to compete for Trios? We had Danielson, Moxley, and Yuta over and over and over and over again. I mean, Danielson's got to take on Daniel Garcia at All Out. It almost feels obvious. Members of the Jericho Appreciation Society are not in this tournament. There's quite a few names that are not in this tournament that I personally think should. You don't think that 2.0 and maybe, you know, Jake Hager, or Sammy's going to be taking on Eddie Kingston, so that's why they're not in it. But there's some names that you could really see that should be in it, but those are the names that I said you're going to be omitted. All right. So we actually discussed quite a few topics during the show. So I have 3 more things for you. Technically 4, even though it's really not news. Some people tried to make people believe that Nikita Lyons had a slip of her garment, a wardrobe malfunction last night. Not true, but we'll clear that up. Before I do that, I want to clear up something that Dustin Rhodes said. And I don't understand how people misunderstood it. Tony Khan, I even think, misunderstood it. I thought Dustin Rhodes was very clear about it. For those that don't know, the big news floating around the last day or two, so Dustin Rhodes did an interview, and he was talking about, you know, AEW and, you know, pay-per-views, this and that. They're talking about, you know, going to the UK, blah, 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 blah. In the conversation, Dustin Rhodes talks about AEW down the line considering 2 nights for pay-per-views. Now, his exact words, I'm going to read them to you. He says, and I quote, "Hopefully someday, like Chicago, the United Center, we smack it out and it's 19,000 people. If we do go do a stadium show, I hope that we would do well for a Double or Nothing or an All Out. I know if it's going to sell out, I hope so. But we don't need to all the time. You have these arenas that are just fine. I think, here it is, I think we're going to do 2-day events now for pay-per-views. I've heard that down the pike. It'll be like a WrestleMania experience. You have 2 days of Double or Nothing, or 2 days of All Out, or 2 days of Revolution." Now, people interpreted that as, I ain't fucking paying $59.99 2 days straight for AEW. And Tony Khan on Busted Open today said this in response to Dustin. Tony Khan says, and I quote, "I saw a report that we were talking about doing two-day pay-per-views. I was like, who said that? I looked and it was Dustin. I love Dustin so much, and I was surprised that he said that because it's something, it's not something we seriously internally discussed. Now listen to those words closely. It's not something we seriously internally discussed. He didn't say they never discussed it. They definitely discussed it. But how I interpreted what Dustin said was that if you're going to have an AEW All Out, an AEW Revolution, an AEW Double or Nothing, you have a two-day event. Not that you have two pay-per-views back-to-back, but you have a show the day before. Almost like NXT the day before SummerSlam, that you, maybe you feature your Ring of Honor guys. Maybe you feature the wrestlers that could not make the pay-per-view. That's how I interpreted it. It would be a live show for everybody who is there in attendance, but it would not be a pay-per-view. That's how I interpreted it. Because honestly, you know, when you talk about WrestleMania two nights, you're on Peacock, you pay $10 a month, and that's it. You don't pay twice because there's two events. AEW don't do subscriptions. And nobody is going to want to pay. I mean, some I'm sure would. But overall, you're not going to get tens of thousands of people that are going to want to double dip two nights in a row. You know, unless you do something that, okay, All Out will be $59.99. If you want to watch the day before, it's $19.99. You order both. You only pay $69. You could do something like that. But I did not interpret it that it would be two pay-per-views back-to-back. I don't think that's what Dustin was trying to say, to be honest with you. So, all right. Let's briefly talk about NXT because by now everybody has done their recaps. Just to get into a couple of matches from yesterday, and we'll clear this up right away. Oop, that's too small. That's not. We had Nikita Lyons beat Kiana James. There was a little controversy. We were talking about it during the watch party yesterday. Big shout out to everybody who showed up at the watch party. Much love. There were websites reporting that Nikita Lyons had a wardrobe malfunction. And the reason why they said that is because the screen went black for a second. Now, if I took a shot every time I watched a wrestling event in the last 6 months and the screen blacked for a second, I probably would be drunk. This has happened before in NXT, but because Nikita Lyons was on the mat, some people assumed it was a wardrobe malfunction. And when people started pressing these news sites today, where did you get wardrobe malfunction from? They went back and they screenshotted right before the camera went to black for a second. And I grabbed it from these sites. And this is what they're claiming as Nikita Lyons' wardrobe malfunction. Nip slip, whatever you want to call it. So now with the high definition, I decided, okay, let's zoom in this a little bit. Friends, do you think somebody in the back? Now, again, this is the regular camera angle. This is ultra zoomed. Do you think somebody in the back, if this was a pre-recorded match, okay, maybe. But you think somebody live saw this at this angle and said, oh, nope. Nope, we got to black the screen out for a second. There was no wardrobe malfunction. It was not a slip. Trust me, I zoomed in through my computer with 4K. You know, I mean, not trying to be a pervert. It was for science, you know, prep for the show. There was no slip. It's just because the screen went black for a second and people thought wardrobe malfunction. And you're thinking Nikita Lyons, you know, that's probably like hope from a lot of people out there. I mean, let's be honest. I'm sure some people would not have minded if there was a little bit of a slip, but there wasn't. So, and you know, when you're a fan of Nikita Lyons, you saw her do the cannonball yesterday. You see some of the moves that she does. And you know that you're a big fan of someone or you're liking their shit, when you watch what she does, and I will admit it, if I could, if I was a single guy and there was like a NXT fan fest and I could pay $50 to just lay in the corner and just have her throw moves on me, like, I think I would enjoy it. I think if she hit some of those, I think a lot of you out there will admit, if she hit some of those moves on all of you, the split, the cannonball, I think a lot of you would be like Randy Orton, you'd be like this. That's when you know that somebody's onto something. Am I wrong? You see a move in the ring, a lot of people are like, ooh, that looks like it hurt. For a lot of you guys out there, and gals, some of you are not like, ooh, that looked like it hurt. You'd be like, I'll take some of that, please. I'll take an extra, put some extra gravy on it, please. Little extra sauce. So she beats Kiana James. Kiana James still got a long ways to go, but she's pretty good. This, I didn't like it at all. Wes Lee defeats Trick Williams in a rounds match. These were the rules. 6 3-minute rounds, 20-second break between each round. Falls could be won by pinfall, submission, or countout. Once a fall occurs, the round ends. First superstar to win two falls will be declared the winner. In the event of a disqualification or a knockout, the match is instantly over. We had boxing. We had wrestling. The wrestling was fine. The boxing was pretty awful. We watched that yesterday, and all we kept going was, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. That was worse than Brawl for It All. Seriously. Everybody that ripped the shit out of Brawl for All, they were boxing yesterday. We were looking, if you look at it closely, it looked like when Wes Lee was throwing the punches, we actually saw two or three times where he just hit air. He looked like a kid. You ever see like a bad cartoon where you got like a little kid and the little kid is trying to swing at you, or a midget? Sorry, midgets out there. A midget that's trying to hit you and you hold their head like from here and all you see him is going, and their arms are so small and you're holding their head like from here and they're just like this and they can't reach you. That's what it looked like yesterday. And his tights look like he came from a water park. It looked like he came from a water park. It looked like, you know, like kids at a water park. Hey, you want a box? Here's some gloves. But I tell you one thing that was interesting about Wes Lee yesterday. If you didn't see the match, go back and watch it. Pay attention to his hair. I'm not making fun of his hair, but he's got, you know, the fro right now. What's interesting about Wes Lee is yesterday, as the match went on, and Wes Lee started sweating, the bottom half of his fro was wet. So it didn't look like a fro anymore. And if you go back and you watch it, I'm being serious for a minute. If you go back and you watch it and you look at him closely, if you cut out, if you crop the picture of him and you cut out the top of his head, you actually could see what Wes Lee would look like with very, very short hair. So you actually, yesterday, we were watching it and we were like, huh, it's interesting to see Wes Lee, would he look better with the fro? I like the fro. I like it a lot. I think he should keep it. But when his hair got wet, like the bottom half of his head was all like tight and the top, it looked like half a fro. It was very interesting. And I'm not saying it to be nasty, or I'm dead serious. Sometimes you see somebody with, you know, a hairstyle. Look at Christian and Edge. When Christian and Edge used to be in the Brood, we always wondered what they would look like with short hair. And then Christian got the haircut, and ultimately Edge got a haircut. And, you know, we would see them differently. But sometimes you see someone with a certain hairstyle and you wonder how they would look, bald or... So that was something interesting yesterday. So, but I didn't like it at all. The rounds match was just confusing. I mean, again, if you look at this, It doesn't even say, oh, one match, one round will be a boxing, and another round will be wrestling, and another round will be this. Whoever came up with this, seriously, you know, I thought it was awful. It was worse than what people used to say about Brawl for All. By the way, I saw a couple of you send in a super chat or two. I will answer them before we go off. We're at already 90 minutes. If I'm going to do a Q&A early tomorrow morning before I go to the office, obviously we need to end this soon. So I'm going to try. Maybe I have to hold off the Q&A for a day, but I don't want to. I want to get it done. All right, next we had Zoe Stark versus Cora Jade. I know we went over a few matches. We'll get to it. Just WWE did not put graphics up for everybody. Not everybody was advertised. Cora Jade is going to be a big star. Zoe Stark, I like. I don't know if Zoe Stark will be the leader of NXT in the women's division and beating Mandy Rose next week. Yes, I will do predictions for Heat Wave in a moment or two, but, you know, Zoe Stark is great. Cora Jade still has a mile to go. And sometimes when you have an established wrestler who has been around for a long time and you get someone who is more of a rookie, sometimes the veteran could lead the rookie and make them look like $1 million. And sometimes it's like oil and water. And that's what it felt like yesterday. It felt like oil and water. They did not mesh well. Everybody will remember last night after the match was over when Roxanne showed up with the kendo stick and went after Cora Jade and Zoe Stark with her rendition of the Go to Sleep, her variation of it. It looked awesome. What she did to Mandy Rose, she knocked Mandy Rose the fuck out. I mean, everybody was talking about what she did yesterday. That looked great, but the match itself was something less to be desired, to be honest with you. Now, we'll get to this in a minute, even though we kind of talked about it before. Before that, let's talk about a couple other matches. Ariana Grace over Thea Hale. Interesting because I thought Thea Hale was going to get the win yesterday because that NXT crowd is really behind her. She's still a rookie, brand new. But Ariana Grace, the daughter of Santina Marella, she legitimately got a shiner from Thea Hale at one of those Florida shows recently. So, you know, I loved it yesterday in the match because it was common sense. Ariana Grace caught a shiner from Thea Hale in a previous match. So you would think Ariana Grace wants to return the favor. And this was great. Seriously. And I know those coaches in NXT had to have complimented her for it. Ariana Grace, multiple times during the match, was trying to knock Thea Hale in the face, punch her in the eye. Thea Hale was protecting her face. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Because in storyline, you know, someone injures me a certain way, I want to get back at that person and give him a receipt, give him the same thing back. And Ariana Grace, that was great yesterday, storytelling. And she got the win on top of it. Pretty Deadly over Idris Inofi and Malik Blade. We had skits during the night when Lash Legend would not shut the fuck up talking to those guys. I was reminiscing of me in the early 90s when I used to go to a club and you want to pick up a chick and the chick is just talking and talking and talking. And you act like you're interested because you just want to like get a number, you want to fool around, or maybe you get a little bit further. And you're just standing there, and she's telling you about her job. She's telling you about her dog. She's telling her about her family. She's telling her about the weekend she just had. The sister's wedding is coming up. She's talking about how she's got to get this. And you're just there for like 20. And after like 20 minutes, like, man, fuck. I got to go to the bathroom. And then you hope there's another bar on the other side of the building, and you just hang out at the other bar. And then with your bad luck, you know, you turn around and then she's right back. Oh, yeah. And then I had to do it. That's what it was like yesterday. These guys had to listen to Lash Legend and she's yapping and yapping and yapping and yapping. And I hope Lash Legend becomes the manager Pretty Deadly if they stick around a little bit further. Apollo Crews versus Roderick Strong. How this came about is we see Apollo Crews with the Creed brothers. They're watching tape. And I was doing my impersonations of Roderick Strong yesterday. And I know some people who are live right now remember it. I predicted every word out of his fucking mouth. They'll watch it. Guys, what is this? Come on, guys. You know, and Roddy is jealous that Apollo Crews is with them. He's not Diamond Mind. So they end up having a match. Awesome match. Apollo Crews gets the win. Then we see later on, we see more tape. Creed brothers are watching the tape from a couple of weeks ago, and they see what Roderick Strong did to him, and they're with Damon Kemp. And meanwhile, I'm like, all right, here comes Roddy Strong. Guys, where were you guys? I was out there all by myself. Roddy Strong talks like Marina Shafir wrestles. They're perfect for each other. Seriously, if Marina Shafir, like, you know how, like, I don't remember who the guy was. Remember the guy who sadly died very recently? And he was in a wheelchair and he couldn't talk. And he would just be like this. And somehow, like, he would push a button and be like, I gotta do hoovy. I have to do heavy. I have a guess. I hearted. Like, he would just sit there and have no reaction. I have to go do hee. I'm hungry. I'm a little thirsty right now. I think we need to end the show soon. And somehow you push buttons and you would hear him talking like, wow, that's fucking cool. I want that. So, Stephen Hawking, that was him. I'm very, very impressed with him. Seriously, all jokes aside, very impressed. I mean, technology is pretty fucking awesome. But Roddy Strong yesterday, man. If Stephen Hawking was Marina Shafir, and if Marina Shafir in the ring could talk, that it would sound like Roderick Strong. I mean, Roderick Strong, I'm a fan of Roderick Strong. Seriously. I like the guy. He has done, I got to give him nothing but credit for all the work he is committed to do to help Diamond Mine and the Creed Brothers, and he has been a team player. But, you know, when you say like, oh, if you ever like met somebody in a dark alley, like, I don't want to meet that person in a dark alley. And Roddy Strong wears the hood. He wears the sweat jacket with the hood. And I even say, if that was a dark alley, like, you just listen to his voice. Imagine if you're in a dark alley and you're walking down, you're in a bad neighborhood, and there's Roderick Strong with the hood over his head, and he comes up to you. Could you imagine? He'd be like, Give me your money. Come on, guys. Give me your money. You got to cooperate here. You got to cooperate. Why am I looking that way? Like, he's so unintimidating. He's like, guys, where were you? I was out there all by myself. He is so unintimidating. Talk about somebody who needs, like, the nails thing, like, or a voice box thing. He is so unintimidating. Seriously, if he walked into a bank with a gun and he'd be like, this is a stick up. Come on, everybody. Give me your money. Come on. I'd laugh. I'd be like, here, take my money, please. Just talk a little bit more. Tell me how you're going to fuck me up. He's so unintimidating. But I love you, Roddy. Seriously. If I ever wanted to be trained to be a wrestler, I'm too old now, but I would definitely go to him. He is that good. The match he had with Apollo Crews was great. But I think he even would say he is so unintimidating. So then I'll see him at a wrestling convention. And then, hey, Roddy, nice to meet you. You know, Anthony, you know, they do his show, Don Tony. And then he'll be like this. Ah! He'll be like this with me, with my head. Hey, how do I sound now? Come on, Don Tony, say something else. How do I talk? Do I sound like Marina Shafir wrestles now? Come on, Don Tony. Hang on, you guy. Meanwhile, I'd be like, stop. Be like Eddie Murphy with Trading Places. It was the Duke. All right, it's getting late. I'm tired. Mo Words, it says I'm on one today. I didn't take my meds. I don't take meds. All right. Oh, we did all the matches. Okay, good. All right, so we already talked a little bit about this. I thought this visual was great. With the exception of one thing. I talked about this yesterday on Patreon. This was another sit-down that Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar had. And I thought this was done very well. The final accord is just stupid. That sounds like something you would see on the Lifetime channel. The final accord. That doesn't sound tough. I don't know anybody in Puerto Rico or Miami, Florida, or an old episode of Miami Vice, Don Johnson, when they go into all of the Latino drug addicts. Yeah, how you doing? We're going to do the final accord. Yeah, final accord. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what the fuck you doing? You know, I'm going to set up a final accord. We're going to meet with Crockett and Tubbs. We're going to do a final accord. Talking about. But there was only one problem I had with this segment yesterday. I don't know if I could still do it. But as I was watching this, I could not help but to look at this. Not the water fountains. That's a column. But if you look at it from far away, that looks like a stage. I thought the Rockettes were going to come out and start dancing. I thought the Muppets, Statler and Waldorf. Hey, I don't know. I walked into this sucks. This episode of NXT sucks. I thought fucking Broadway, that was looked like a stage to me. I honestly thought the Rockettes were going to come out and start kicking their feet up in the air. I mean, I just kept looking at that. I'm like, are we going to get like an Easter egg like WWE Raw where the car was crashed in the back? I honestly thought we were going to get Muppets to show up. It's the Muppet Show. Yay! I couldn't get my eyes off of that. So they're having a sit down yesterday in one final accord. Next week, you and me, Santos, I've had it up to here with you. You and me next week. If I lose, Legado's free. If I win, you're out of NXT. You're done. You're finished. You're over. All right. In my opinion, the stipulation is too predictable. What do you think is the more likely scenario? Santos Escobar going to the main roster and two Spanish guys, Mexican guys, whatever they are, staying with two Italians who are supposed to be in the mob. Why would Legado del Fantasma stay with D'Angelo and Stax? Who are they going to feud with? I mean, Roddy is almost done with what he is promised to do. So what is the more likely scenario? Santos wins. Legado del Fantasma is no longer a part of Tony D'Angelo and Stax, so now they could go back to the tag team division, go for titles, and not be goofs, servants for Tony D'Angelo. The more likely scenario is Legado is free, and they go back being a tag team. Santos Escobar could still be called up to the main roster anytime WWE wants and Santos is ready. So if you look at this on the surface, I personally think Santos Escobar has to win this. Because think about this. If Tony D'Angelo was going to win this, why wouldn't the stipulation just be this? Seriously. Hey, Santos, if you lose, you're out of NXT. And if I lose, I'm out of NXT. You could have Stax. Or I'll take Stax with me. We're out of NXT. Why wouldn't you just do that? If Santos loses, he's out of NXT. If Tony D'Angelo loses, he's out of NXT. You could have even done something further. Hey, Santos, if you lose, you're out of NXT. If I lose, I'm out of NXT. Well, what happens with your buddy Stax? Don't worry about that. Stax is a big boy. Stax could take care of himself. He don't need me to hold his hand. Wouldn't that be logical? Loser leaves NXT. Easy, right? Easy peasy. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. Legado's free. So to me, on the surface, Santos Escobar is going to win this match. Because Tony D'Angelo would still be in NXT. Santos Escobar would still be in NXT. Legado del Fantasma could go back and do what they were doing before. And everybody is where they were. That seems, I saw so many people yesterday. Holy shit, Santos Escobar is going to go to the main roster. Oh my God, it's finally happening. I'm like, These are the same goofs that thought that Miro was going to join the House of Black. I swear to God, for all those people that wrote that on Twitter yesterday, go on their ID and do a search for the night that Miro stared at Malakai and he had that twitch under his cheek. Go look, do a search for that date for that person on Twitter. I guarantee you that almost all of them all thought that Miro was going to join the House of Black. So, look, NXT could throw me a curveball next week, and maybe Santos goes to the main roster. I just personally think they could have kept it simple. I win, you're gone. You win, I'm gone. End of story. Easy. They didn't do that. All right. Predictions. Heat wave. 5 matches. We only have 2 hours for NXT. With commercials, by the way. So we're not going to have 7, 8 matches. We got 5. You know, maybe we get 1 extra match. But anyway, Bron Breakker defending the NXT championship against JD McDonagh. I say Bron Breakker will retain. I'd love to see Bron Breakker ultimately go to the main roster, maybe in time for the Royal Rumble. But if we're going to get something with Survivor Series and NXT is involved, I think Bron Breakker leading the Survivor Series team for NXT would be a really good idea. So I'm going to go with Bron Breakker to retain. Mandy Rose defending the NXT Women's Championship against Toxic Attraction is supposed to be in her corner. Mandy's taking on Zoe Stark. I tell you, a lot of people want Mandy Rose back on the main roster. Mandy Rose wants to go back to the main roster. The problem is, when you look at Bayley, Io Sky, Dakota Kai. Now, yeah, they'll probably end up being tag team champions. They're the favorites right now. But you look at even the other wrestlers. Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair's returning, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler is getting a reinvigorated push, Liv Morgan. And you go on and on and on. Do you think Mandy Rose is going to leapfrog any of them right away? I don't see it. So I personally like Mandy Rose as a bigger fish in a small pond, which is the NXT women's division. Because if she goes to the main roster, she will be a very small fish in a larger pond. And there are too many other big fish. When you throw a little fish food in the water, Mandy Rose will be swimming towards that food and that shit will be gone. Bianca and Bayley and Charlotte, and everyone, they would have sucked that shit up, that food, before Mandy. Can I have a piece? So I that's why I don't want to see Mandy Rose in the main roster. I know it feels like a change is needed, that Zoe Stark, but I still feel Nikita Lyons is going to be the one to win that championship. So I'm going to go with Mandy Rose to retain. Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez. Right now, they're just advertising it as a regular match, which I think is stupid. You incorporate a Singapore cane, let it be no DQ, street fight, whatever you want to call it. They obviously, especially Cora Jade, she's so young in her career, she's not extremely polished in the ring. I don't want to see wrestling moves and possibly botched wrestling moves. If it's more of a street fight, you know, you can take it to the ground, take it outside the ring, distract the fact that you don't have to do as many wrestling moves. I hope they change that. I'm going to go with Cora Jade to win. I'm going with Cora Jade to win. I think she's going to cheat the win. Maybe this is going to lead to a disqualification. If they do a straight-up match, I could see Cora Jade getting disqualified. But I could also see Roxanne Perez snap and she doesn't break a hold and the referee disqualifies her. I personally think if it's a straight-up match, it's going to end in a DQ. Carmelo Hayes defending the NXT North American Championship against Giovanni Vinci. Giovanni Vinci. I'm starting to warm up on Giovanni Vinci. He doesn't come off as Cesaro Light anymore. He challenged Carmelo Hayes yesterday. I'm fine with it. The former Fabian Aichner, let's never forget how great of a talent that he is. So just because he's got a different character now and a different name does not mean that that is a different wrestler in that ring. So Fabian Aichner, Giovanni Vinci, whatever you want to call him, that guy you know is going to deliver. This is going to be an excellent match. I'm still going with Carmelo Hayes to retain. In fact, as of right now, I don't think any titles are going to change. If any title is going to change, it's going to be Mandy Rose, if any. And I'm not feeling that. And then we have the street fight. Tony D'Angelo versus Santos Escobar. If Santos Escobar wins, Legado del Fantasma is free from the D'Angelo family. If Tony D'Angelo wins, Santos Escobar is gone from NXT. I'm going with Santos Escobar to win, and I personally think, and you know what sucks about this too? If you think about it as a street fight, Tony D'Angelo only has Stacks. Santos Escobar has Electra Lopez. Yeah, she can get involved. And he's got two members of Legado. So Santos technically has three people in his corner, and Tony D'Angelo only has one. So maybe we get an appearance from someone else that we're not expecting. That is possible. But I'm still going with Tony D'Angelo to lose, only because if they were going to do, you know, Santos leaving, then why not just have Loser Leaves NXT? Period. That's it. Loser leaves NXT. That's the easiest way to go. So that's what I'm going with. So that is your lineup for NXT Heatwave. So we're in an hour and 51 minutes, so we'll just go 2 hours. You know, we'll even it out and get out of here. Now, I do feel bad for Lascelles Williams. I know some of you super chat me before the show goes live because, you know, you want to be one of the first for me to answer questions. And he sent this in about 15 minutes, I believe, before AEW went off the air. And he asked, thank you for the 20 spot, who returns to AEW TV first, MJF or CM Punk? And after a lot of thinking during the show tonight, LaSalle, I got to go with CM Punk. I would have still said CM Punk. Look, we've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. You're not going to do All Out in Chicago and not have CM Punk on the show. If CM Punk was not going to be able to compete, CM Punk would have been out there doing interviews, giving updates on commentary. You know, just because his foot hurt, he had a boo-boo on his foot, doesn't mean there was anything wrong with his voice. Doesn't mean he couldn't come out there and cut a promo during all this time. And if CM Punk was in no condition to wrestle anytime soon, I'm sure he probably would have had a little bit of a confrontation with John Moxley sooner and then get that out of the way so nobody in the back of their mind is going to pay premium money going to see him to see All Out in Chicago, and in the back of their mind, they think CM Punk is going to be there. That would have been cleared up weeks ago, and it wasn't. So CM Punk, you know, I would have still said CM Punk returning. CM Punk has to return before MJF does. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with MJF. He's got to return. And remember what I said, the lack of the AEW roster that is not all coming out in interviews over the last couple of months. This is not a week or two. The last couple of months and not expressed any anger towards MJF other than one or two wrestlers because they were put on the spot. Nobody tweets it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about professionalism. No one takes shots on the guy. This should have been a weekly. MJF should have been a pinata over the last couple of months. The silence is deafening. So MJF's got to return. If he doesn't return, it makes Tony Khan look like an imbecile for not sending a message to his roster the day after MJF walked out, if he did, and just tell them this is unacceptable. That is not what AEW is about. That is disrespectful to the locker room. That is disrespectful to the fans. And you just totally, were you afraid that MJF was going to cut a promo on you on social media? So, you know, that's why that lack of authority, I think, makes it obvious, in my opinion. So, all right. Thank you again, Rojo Bear. Earlier, we talked about that with Hangman. Right now, it's storyline. And I still feel Dark Order should have the first match in that tournament, lose, then give the okay to Hangman. Like, go ahead. Go with your friends. Go with your friends. That's what it should have been. That's what it should have been. KD with the 20 spot. KD, always hanging out in the watch parties, always interactive. Everybody likes KD. I like you more right now. He enjoyed the coffin match, the blood, and the thumbtacks. Notwithstanding, Murphy looking at Sting, waiting for him to get out of the coffin was silly. Yes. He just stood there waiting for him to get out, and he wanted to send a shout-out to his watch party posse. Much love. We do have a posse at the watch party. You know, I wish some of you who always say, yeah, I'm going to be there this week, I don't know what you're afraid of. You know, we watch wrestling. We chat. You don't have to show your face. You don't even have to play your voice. You could be in a chat room texting with us, and we all have a ball. So you're really missing out on a lot of fun shit, because I don't know how long those watch parties will last. And believe me, if they get taken away or if I stop doing them, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, man, I wish I would have been part of it. It is a lot of fun. But you are so spot on of that. Again, we let it pass because of Sting's age. He's in his 60s. 5 years from now, Sting is not going to be doing this. And time goes a lot faster than you realize. So we kind of give it a pass. The problem is sometimes it makes the other person look ridiculous. Buddy Murphy looked ridiculous in a lot of ways. Standing by the coffin, allowing Sting is old. You could put face paint on and he looks great. He looks phenomenal. But if you look at Sting getting out of that coffin, he looks like a 60-something-year-old man trying to get up from the floor. I mean, even when I get out of bed, sometimes it looks ridiculous. But to see Buddy Murphy just stand there, you know, it's not like he's like, you know, he's literally just standing there like waiting for him to get out of the coffin. You know, it just, you know, what I would have done, seriously, what I would have done is when Buddy Murphy opened the coffin, yes, hindsight is 20/20, and we're Monday morning quarterbacking it. But if I was Buddy Murphy, the minute I go to open the casket and Sting busts out of the casket, even just pushes the lid up, obviously didn't want to take the chance of breaking it, but Sting should have forced that open. Buddy Murphy should have flew backwards and fell on his ass. He should have fallen backwards and fell on his ass and just have this look like he saw a ghost. This way, when Buddy Murphy freaks out, falls backwards on his ass, and he's got this look like, holy shit, and then you put the camera on Sting, that gives time for Buddy Murphy to, like, gather himself, try to get up, and as he's getting up, Sting is getting up. That's what I would have done. But instead, Buddy Murphy is just standing there waiting, anticipating. You're spot on with that, KD. Spot on. King of Games with the 5 spot. DT, you were right about CM Punk. He knows how to make you think he's hurt. He had a walking boot at Comic-Con and made people think he was in pain. Beautiful. I criticize CM Punk for some of the things that he says. I criticize the IWC for giving him Creed with it. When he brought up Brock Lesnar, comparing it to Sasha and Naomi, it was ridiculous because Brock Lesnar never quit. He never walked out. If he wants to go outside and blow off some steam, that's his right. He never missed a show. He never protested. And CM Punk, this was weeks after Brock Lesnar was on TV. And he still said that. And instead of people saying, like, why is CM Punk saying this? People reported it because they don't like Vince McMahon and they don't like Kevin Dunn and they don't like Bruce Pritchard and they don't like that brass. So anybody with Creed that says, fuck you to WWE, they will praise that, celebrate it, and tattoo it instead of correcting the people out there. And that's one of my biggest gripes out there. People are petrified to correct people that are wrong because they want to be part of the in crowd. They want to be part of the conversation. They want the 100, 200 likes. So they would rather gush about what CM Punk said instead of being honest for a second and saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Brock Lesnar never missed the show. So there's a lot that I don't like about CM Punk. But this, bravo to him. Because I can't tell you how many people like DT, no, DT, he was limping, he was in a lot of pain, he was at Comic-Con, he was here, he was doing this, he's not, I'm like, come on, man, this is CM Punk, one of the greatest sellers, you know, if he fooled you, good. You want to be fooled as a wrestling fan, you want suspension of disbelief. CM Punk did not lie to anybody. Yes, I know what you're going to say. Well, he did lie. His foot wasn't hurting, and he sold it like he did. He didn't say to anybody, look, I don't know if I'm going to be able to compete or anything like that. I mean, if he's limping around, look, I limp sometimes. You know, if it's raining out, you know, I mean, of course, CM Punk exaggerates it, but CM Punk was being a professional wrestler, and CM Punk paid attention to detail, and CM Punk gave everyone that suspension of disbelief that he was not ready. This way, when he does appear, it's a big surprise. There were a lot of people that thought Kenny Omega was going to show up tonight, not CM Punk. And a lot of people were pleasantly surprised tonight. And CM Punk did his job and did his job well. So I will give him that. And I will give you my farewell for tonight because we ended up doing 2 hours. So for everyone out there, I think we'll extend this. Well, I can't make any guarantees. I have the Q&A questions all ready to go. And I was supposed to do it this afternoon, but work got in the way big time. Am I going to get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to do it because I got before I go to work? It's really, really cutting it close. I think what I'm going to do with the Q&A with this week is I'll probably record it Sunday afternoon, and I'll put it online maybe Sunday or Tuesday or something. Look, it's Q&A. So it's not like, you know, the questions are going to expire if we wait a few extra days. So why don't we do this then? I know, you know, right now I'm looking at it. We have August 11th. So what is Tuesday? Tuesday will be August 16th. So why don't we do this? I am going to fix that. So let's do that. Let's make the Q&A mailbag August 16th, Tuesday. Now, yes, my elite channel members here get the Patreon show every Tuesday. So for everybody who is an elite channel member, last night's Patreon show is playing on YouTube, so you could enjoy that if you haven't checked it out already. But instead of having the mailbag released tomorrow, let's do it for Tuesday. So if any of you out there want to send in a question and you haven't done so yet, you have two ways. You could email me at this email address, dontony@dontony.com. It doesn't get any easier than that. Or you could go into the community section here on YouTube and you could post a question there. And on Tuesday, during the day, I will record. Hey, I might even record it over the weekend. Maybe I'll release it earlier, but I would say more than likely I'll put it online Tuesday since we don't have a Tuesday show on the schedule other than Patreon, but I will definitely record it by Monday. So I get a couple extra days. All right, everyone, hope you had a great night. Hope you enjoyed Dynamite NXT. Heatwave is Tuesday. It should be a good show. Maybe we'll see what kind of surprises we get. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to post it in the comment section. And I've been answering. I'm a few days behind, but I've been answering quite a few of the last couple of days. So I'll definitely get back to it. And hope everybody had a good time. You know, I had fun tonight. Fact that we're still here a little over 2 hours, you know, that means I'm having fun. So I hope you all had a great night. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I will officially be back here on YouTube Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. So if you want to join me Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. Eastern, you're in the United States, have breakfast with yours truly. We'll talk about everything that goes down. We'll see what happens on SmackDown. And for my international friends, it'll be good afternoon for a lot of you out there. So be well, everybody. Much love. And as always, thank you for the support. All the best.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.